So we start?
Yep.
Okay. All right, we'll call for the November meeting of the Calicura Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. First agenda item is the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next agenda item is approval of the minutes from our joint council PNZ meeting of October 2nd, 2012. Fairly lengthy set of minutes. Is there, maybe just take a second and go through it, see if there's any recommended changes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next agenda item is old business. All three of the things here have to do with the potential K Avenue mixed use zoning plan. I'm sure everybody who was at our last meeting or read the minutes is that after the presentation we talked about, you know, Sunset Beach and Riceville Beach and you know, South Fort as examples. That we really end up with, you know, really three options. One is to, you know, look at a mixed use process as a zoning or some form of zoning process. Another approach would be using a conditional use permit similar to what Southport and Riceville Beach uses. And another option is simply do nothing, just go ahead and leave it the way it is right now. As it states in the minutes, there was a unanimous consensus to ask the PNZ to move forward with the K Avenue utilizing a mixed use process such as a conditional use permit. And that's kind of where we left it, and then we asked to have that put on the agenda for tonight's meeting to look at the next steps. So that really is kind of a summary of what went on within the public hearing and the joint council and PNZ meeting. Is there any further discussion on this before we make any suggestions as to the next step that we want to take here? I mean, it's back in our responsibility right now. Certainly the council charged us to look at it from the perspective of official use permit.
I think the only item that might be worth mentioning is that there was a question that arose concerning potential property tax increases for mixed, properties in mixed-use districts, And in fact, Nancy Avery did contact the county to find out if, in fact, the county tax administrator, Robert Kelly, to find out if, in fact, if we started into this process, the taxes would go up. And Mr. Kelly indicated that if, in fact, we were actually issuing conditional use permits for individual developments, individual properties, that, in fact, each case would be considered on its own merits. It would not affect adjacent properties to the one that's being developed. So that resolved the issue that was our concern.
Exactly.
If we did this at all, we create a problem for other...
adjacent properties if we go into a zoning type of process. Okay.
Correct.
So that cleared up that. The other thing that I wanted to mention too, which actually came out during the presentation, is looking at the parking requirements. And looking at the parking report, we do have a set of parking requirements for home businesses, which I thought was somewhat interesting. Because when you actually look at the parking requirements in our parking ordinance regarding home businesses, some of them are really quite strict in terms of their parking space requirements for a variety of home businesses. And the concern that I raised is that are we going to enforce actually an ordinance? My general feeling is that if we're going to have an ordinance, it should be enforced. And if we're not going to enforce an ordinance, then maybe we ought to consider, rethinking, that particular ordinance. So I would suggest, as kind of a separate issue, not related to the conditional use permit, that we may want to look at our next meeting at the parking requirements for home businesses. Because technically, right now, anybody who has a permit to have a home business could possibly be cited under that as not having sufficient parking if you have a consulting business or something like that out of your house. So that, I think, was another thing that came out of that discussion. Any other further discussion about that? The only thing I would recommend is that, given that our charge is now to look at a conditional use permit, the two communities that we looked at that did have a conditional use permit were Riceville Beach and Southport. And certainly we can use one or both of those as a model for what we might want to look at. But I would suggest that maybe for our next meeting that we put this on the agenda. But during that time, we each maybe do a little bit of Googling and internet search to find out some other examples of conditional use permits for mixed use capabilities, and that we have somewhat of a work session next meeting where we have some, more than the two examples we have today to kind of think about what we may want to do in terms of the detail and specificity. Because certainly you can approach it in many different ways. You can have a conditional use permit that's very, very simple, but you could also have conditional use permits that also allow for architectural design review and a number of other things too that we may want to consider in terms of what we're trying to accomplish with that particular effort on K Avenue. So that would be my suggestion, is that we put it on our next agenda and that we do a little bit of homework and come in with some examples of what we think may be appropriate conditional use permits for what we're trying to do here.
I got one question. What then you might be able to answer that. What's the difference between a special use permit and a conditional use?
I don't think there's technically any difference between the two. There may be a legal difference, but I don't think there's technically any difference. The way that conditional use permits typically, and from my work with other planning commissions, a conditional use permit is one that the allowable use is conditional upon certain activities. And those activities could be design activities, parking activities, whatever you put into the conditional use permit process. And if they don't satisfy that, you can actually pull that permission from that particular location. So, for example, if you have a bar and a bar has a blinking sign and that's not part of the conditional use permit, you could say that they can't be a bar anymore. Special use permit doesn't have that legal enforcement, I don't believe. I think that's the only technical difference, but I think in practice that they're pretty much the same. John, do you have any idea?
Basically what you're saying right there.
Oh, okay.
Special use, at least the way we've got it set up right now, it's got to be a council okay on it. Whereas the conditional use, it would start with y'all and then overall have a council okay on that too. The only thing I was going to mention is, we've got, it kind of is a conditional use permit for height exceptions. And I would suggest when we figure out what we want as far as our requirements, different architectural features, things like that, let's try to follow the same format because technically right now the P&Z board is the technical review committee for the town.
Right.
So, I mean, everything would come through y'all anyway.
Sure. Yeah, I just think that a conditional use permit is that you set up a number of conditions that have to be satisfied in order to have that use. But a special use permit simply allows a use as a special consideration. So you could have a special use permit that if somebody wanted to, I mean, assuming that they want to do it, if somebody wanted to build a non-permitted activity in a particular zone, you could apply for a special use permit for that non-permitted activity. So there's a slight, I think, legal difference between the two.
But we already have special use.
We also already have a special use permit.
And that pertains to farming.
Right. But they, you know, that special use permit, you know, the way we set that up, for example, if somebody would come in with something that is classified in the zoning category, they would still have to get approval, you know, from the council. I guess you could put conditions upon that approval. So, you know, again, there's really not much in terms of the difference in a special use permit versus a conditional use permit. But conditional use permits are typically done for, again, from my experience, you know, if let's say a movie theater wants to move into an area, you know, and you don't want to have them showing movies after midnight, well, you could put that as a condition. You could put, you know, shared parking as a condition. You could have a whole list of conditions associated with that particular use once the council allows it. So I think generally conditional use permits would probably be more appropriate for the thing that we're talking about from a legal point of view.
So you think we'll be eliminating special use?
No, because we still have special use for those, you know, zoning categories, you know, those different uses in those different zoning categories. So you could have a special use permit and a conditional use permit. They're not mutually exclusive. But again, that's one thing we may want to look at. You know, I mean, we may want to look at what other cities have done. You know, I believe both Southport and Wrightsville use conditional use permits, don't they?
Yes.
Okay. But, you know, some other people might use special use permits for the same process.
I mean, we're going to do a nationwide search here. Who knows what we might come up with that might be just a real solid set or one that we can put together that might work.
Right.
John, do you have any template or any thought in terms of other places for which information like this would be gathered through any organization you belong to or anything?
Same deal, dude. Looking through ordinances for different municipalities.
There is a mixed use, and I didn't bring my folder with me, but when we were going through all the mixed use process, there is some sort of professional organization that's involved with mixed use that have a lot of model ordinances for mixed use type of activities. You know, I'll try to jump back on and find that website because they may have a model conditional use permit for doing the same thing. So, you know, again, you know, I just suggest that we go and do some homework, probably each one, you know, maybe an hour worth of time on the internet and get some examples and just bring them in next time.
Do you have any sense, maybe the commission should discuss whether we have a sense of how fast we really want to move this? Whether as we move through this process, whether we need to have any other kind of hearing, whether we need to do any other kind of inquiry to interested parties as we come up with types of requirements. Now, John, we still have not had any kind of interest shown at this point for anything mixed use. Okay. And there's not anything commercial going on where there might be some applicability to a mixed use district. All right, so we're really not too big.
I don't, you know, the sense I got from the council is that they're interested in us pursuing this, but I don't think it's something that we need to put on the front burner. Not that we have a whole lot of other things happening. Looking at the agenda, you know, I mean, it really is about the only thing we have in front of us right now. So, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot more we can work on unless, you know, get down to member items if anybody has any other interesting topics that we may want to consider over the next month or two.
Now, will we have a hearing before we make a recommendation to council, or is this something that we do as a commission that we enact ourselves somehow or another? It's got to, assume it's become part of ordinance that has to go through council.
Once you formulate the ordinance that you want, you forward it to town council. Town council would then schedule a public hearing,
Okay.
And then base their decision.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a change of ordinance, so it would certainly have to go through a public hearing. Since it's a zoning change, isn't there an additional step on a zoning change versus an ordinance?
Actually, it's not a zoning change.
A conditional use permit wouldn't be, it'd be an ordinance set. Okay.
The zoning is not changing, it's just...
No, that's true, okay. All right, I'm not sure if we need to make a motion, but I'll go ahead and make one anyway that we put on the agenda for our December meeting, continued discussion of the K Avenue Mixed Use Zoning Plan as a conditional use permit. And then also I would like to have a discussion of the parking requirements for home-based businesses. Is there a second to that?
Sir.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I noticed one thing on the agenda, we don't have any public comment. We have a couple of people in the audience. Do you have something to address?
I've heard misuse. Explain that to me. Mixed use? You understand that?
It's mixed.
Mixed use.
You said mixed.
Mixed use.
I have no doubt.
Some people might consider it misuse, but you know. mixed use simply means that.
I understand now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I understand mixed use, yes.
Is there any new business? Okay. Any member items? Yes. Okay. We do have a member item, which is a term renewal. I'm not sure.
Just FYI.
Yeah, that's just an FYI.
To bring it to your attention, that's all.
Okay, so that's just
no
FYI.
Action.
FYI,
yeah,
FYI
no
that's
action
here on the council's November agenda for consideration. Well, you know, I'm guessing this will be...
So we'll all take a report card, we'll all make our comments about Joe tonight,
yeah,
turn it in.
I was guessing that would be on the consent item, it's just going to, it's not really a question for me. Yes?
You were speaking of parking, I don't know how many of you were here when this took place, but a few years ago, some of the businesses in the downtown area approached... John, you might remember this, approached the council or whoever because they didn't have enough parking. And so the parking people or whatever, they come up with the idea of renting, well, I think $100 a month. You remember that?
You can have a remote parking area. Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know, but they wanted parking to fund their businesses down there. And it got to the point that they were going to vote on it, and the town attorney said, you can't rent something that's public. Mm. It was public park.
Yeah.
You remember that, John?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So the idea of, and I know you talked about December, but the idea of parking, when you own a home, you have to have two places off the street. Is that right, John?
For the first three bedrooms, yes, sir.
Right. And so what I'm trying to get at, you only have so much room down there. Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and certainly what came out of that discussion, and you were there for that joint council meeting, weren't you? Yeah. I mean, certainly the parking issue came was a very important part of that whole discussion. And as we think about that mixed use process through the conditional use permit, parking would be certainly a very large part of that discussion. And I think you heard from both the joint council meeting as well as our discussion tonight is that it's going to be a process that will involve a lot of public hearing, public comment, and there's no real obvious hurry to this. We don't have people standing in line that want to buy property for this. So.
I do have one question. As we start through this process of putting together a conditional use permit, is it still being relegated only to K Avenue, the properties facing K Avenue, fronting K Avenue from 3rd to 7th?
No, it'd be the whole.
It would be the whole town now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or you could get a conditional use permit.
No, you can identify, like Riceville Beach has identified certain areas for the In fact, it's called a mixed-use conditional use permit. That's in fact what it's called.
Okay.
You can identify the application to a particular area, which would be the province of K.
Understood. So now, if we have other areas, for instance, along Fort Fisher or something like that, where there's a lot of vacant properties, and some of them are in B1 and B2 districts and all that, that could not those areas also be identified as well as the previously mentioned area as possibility for mixed-use development?
Yeah, certainly. In fact, Riceville Beach has identified three areas.
Okay.
So they've identified three areas that would have a mixed-use applicability. My only concern right now is that the charge to the Planning Commission is K Avenue.
Yeah, understood.
And if the council would want us to look at conditional use permits in other areas for mixed use or for any use, I think we have to get the direction from the council.
But since we're talking about not a district, but individual properties, we're really not talking about areas of concern. We're only talking about properties, individual lots of concern. So they could be placed in a whole lot more places, and we could be heading towards doing that. Since, yes, I know council only wanted us to look at K Avenue. Okay? There may be other areas we should be looking at as well, but this may be appropriate.
I wouldn't disagree. If we're interested in mixed use, in fact, the interesting thing about mixed use in Riceville Beach, as we talked about, is it's not taking a residential zoning and trying to make it mixed use, but they have business zoning.
Right.
And they're trying to make it more mixed
right.
use, so they're trying to
yeah.
put a residential
yeah.
component into yeah. The business area there.
And I'm basically talking about a block or two within, from the corner of K and Fort Fisher.
Right.
I'm not talking about putting something, in the middle of Sea Watch.
And I think one of the speakers at the joint meeting went through what it was back in the 1950s. In fact, it might have been you, actually. Talk about the 1950s, and in fact, several of the properties did have residential above the retail or commercial back then.
That's Randy Canoe's mom and dad.
Right, right.
Where the vacant lot is on the corner. Okay, here's the stoplight mm-hmm. on the south side of the K, so to speak. The vacant lot now is his mom and dad at a restaurant.
Right. Exactly. So that's a good example of mixed use, which was very common back in the 1950s and prior.
Well, that was only in Ohio, is that what you said?
No, that from the 1950s, prior to the 1950s, almost all commercial areas were in fact mixed use. That's just how they grew up, from the downtown centers of New York to, here in Curie Beach, is that, you typically had retail, then you had residential on top.
That was the only one in Curie that I know.
Okay.
In the downtown area.
Right.
Guys, it was really good. We were talking to the flowers today, John. You were talking about reading. We were talking today, and it was certainly a blessing to be here back then. I don't know how to explain it any other way. It was a joy to be here at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was family. And
right.
like I say, there were more businesses downtown than there are now.
All right, sure.
So
again, I think the motivation by everybody involved, the P&Z and the council, in terms of talking about that, is to try to do as much as we can do from a zoning and ordinance to try to encourage that type of activity that everybody's so happy with back in that era. Rather try to separate everybody and have people commute, back and forth. All right, is there any...
I'm a little confused about being able to spot pick where you can have your conditional use permit in the RA2.
Well, I don't think we're spot picking. I think that the application of a conditional use permit would be for a specific area. I don't think you can spot pick. You have to say that there's a chunk, like K Avenue, where the mixed-use, conditional use permit would be applicable. Now, individual property owners could come within that particular segment and apply for a conditional use permit that would be a mixed use. So individual property owners could apply for it, but the application of the mixed-use, conditional use permit would be for a whole district, however we define that district.
So we would actually have to list addresses then?
Or just an area. I think you simply say between this street, adjacent to K Avenue or something, you know, to find
a
that.
Map?
A map? Yeah, you probably have a map or something like that with it. You know, again, that's one thing that why we need to do the homework, because, you know, we could bring in examples as to how other cities define it. You know, I'm pretty sure that Wrightsville Beach defines it simply by an area. So they'll say, now they've got actually more specific zoning, so they would say that applies to zoning B2-23 or something like that. But what we can do is when we go out and bring in some other examples of conditional use permits, part of that will see how they define where that can be applied to. And the best wording, you know, that sort of thing.
May I say something?
Sure.
You know, it's really strange that Carolina Beach put up parking meters. People all from Wilmington, plus people who come off the boat up down here, and all the people from all around, they come to the beach. We don't have parking meters, and we've sat on the beach a lot. We don't have parking meters, so that's no monetary value to anybody. The people that come, Mexicans, whatever you want to call, different people come, they have their coolers, they got them full of whatever they want. They don't have to go eat nowhere. And that's bad English, I know. But they don't have to go anywhere. Okay, they're here because they don't want to pay the parking fee, and then they make this overflow, which is going to wash on to the people who are have property and all, and I just can't see it. They're messy and they're everything else. You don't know. If you don't, go on the beach and you see how the things are on the beach, you don't really know this place at all. And there are people who come and they're very, very careful with the beach and all and enjoy it. And that's what it was built on, was enjoying the ocean. It was no money involved in it like this. We have been pushed down to the very end from up in Wilmington. Wrightsville Beach has no more room for them, so they can't go there, excuse me. And you take over at Southport, they have no really beachfront that I know of. So I don't know what to tell you to do. All I know is how it's come to this overpopulation coming in here, and you don't have any parking places for them. But don't put it on the people who work hard to have a house down here. They pay their taxes. There's no money owed on anything as far as the houses are concerned. I just don't see what's going on here. And I don't know who, excuse me, but I don't know who to vent my frustrations on. And believe me, there are frustrations.
Well, I mean, speaking of paid parking, I mean, that's, you know, we've studied a lot of beach communities, and there was a very large discussion, very important discussion about paid parking at the council meeting for the last several meetings. And certainly any community that doesn't have paid parking will attract people that are looking to go to the beach without paying for any parking. And so you'll tend to have that sort of nature of a certain type of people coming to the beach that are don't want to pay for the parking, and they're going to, you know, search around for ideas. And we're the only beach in this area that doesn't have paid parking.
Say on the beach down there, well, at least I don't have to go to the car and put a nickel in it or whatever, you know.
That was a discussion at the council, and really is more the purview of the council's discussion right now. Because we're looking at zoning and ordinances, and parking does kind of wrap into that, but, you know, we're not really the commission that would make a recommendation that we have paid parking. I mean, it's not really within the jurisdiction of planning and zoning.
Well, we live 250 miles away from here, so we can't get down here ever once a month. Mm-hmm. We come when we can. I have a sick son, has Alzheimer's, and that's not on your agenda either. And so I cannot jump in the car and come down here and take care of this business according to you. I mean, I'm not being ugly about it. I'm trying to just tell you the facts.
Right. No. No, I appreciate it. I think everybody's concerned about the care of the beach, because if you have a beach that isn't being cared for, it affects the image of the town of Curie Beach. It affects the tourists who come here that want to spend their money. As everybody knows, I'm a very strong supporter of beautification. It's a very important part of economic development to make it as attractive as possible. And if there's a general feeling that there's a segment of the population that perhaps doesn't understand the importance of that, then that's something that can be raised in the council, because there might be some enforcement solutions, or might be some communication, you know, solutions to that, you know, particularly with Hispanics, you know, that, you know, there might be some, you know, my wife is Mexican, and, you know, she's a Spanish professor at the university, and, you know, maybe it requires, you know, some Spanish language things, reminding people to, you know, pick up after themselves or things like that. But those are certainly things, very appropriate things, I think, to bring to the council.
Well, you know, going back, and I know times change, but years ago, people come here to fish. Okay.
It's a fishing village.
Right. And as far as the fishing part, I don't really know of any problems that were experienced down here whenever it was a fishing beach, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I realize that things change, but like I told Josie, and I know you guys heard me say this last time, or maybe I didn't say it last time, the time before, but when I was young and I saw this program on TV that General Electric had, and said all progress comes through change, but not all change is progress. And that's always stuck with me. That's a good statement. And so when you think of that, where the problem that it comes in is people don't have the wisdom to understand until it's too late. And I'm not saying that to you guys, but that's what happens. Things aren't thought through. I know you can't think of everything, but I understand.
No, I think our interest is, you know, growth is going to happen. It's going to continue to happen in New Hanover County. People are going to continue to move here. You know, what we want to make sure is that whatever happens is done as well as it can within this community.
Wilmington is already working some way to incorporate Curie Beach.
No, they aren't.
Has that been stopped?
Well, it's not an issue because it's illegal. They can incorporate another town.
Yeah. Now, we're a legal town.
That's never been under consideration.
There's something about a new study that we got that something about a New Hanover County study or something. I've got it at the house, but just didn't think to bring it.
I mean, if they try that, Curie Beach will incorporate Bloomington.
There you go.
We can do a better job managing Bloomington than they can do at Curie Beach.
No, we don't want.
No, we won't. All right. Any further comments?
I will not be here at the December meeting.
Oh, okay. If you have anything on conditional use permits, why don't you send it to us? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
No.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Yeah, thank you for coming and the comments. Thank you.
Who made that motion and who second?
Pardon?
Who made the motion?
Thank you for listening.
Oh, no problem.
You second?
No. We'll do our best. I mean, we all live here. We've lived here. I've lived here for 22 years. You know, we all live here. We're absolutely committed. So we're trying to do the best.
Well, like I told you, there's a big difference in 2765.
Oh, I can believe it. I appreciate that.
I can't believe I'm 76.
Can you believe it? Well, that sounds good.
The other day I was talking to Billy Taylor.
Well, man, you want to see change. I was born and raised in San Diego. When I was a kid, San Diego was the size of Wilmington, North Carolina. There were 150,000 people.
Right now, I understand.
San Diego wasn't even in the last couple of years.
Cities.
Same amount.
That was the sixth largest city in the United States.
Well.
Two million people go from 150,000 to
150,000.
And so, that may happen to Wilmington.
Are you in the project that rates Carolina Beach?
The next 4 years, I'm having 2 million people there because it's a coast. It's attractive.
I don't propose that they're attracting for the last couple of years.
They haven't put it down there.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much they can do on the side. I mean, you get them ready. But there's still a lot of land in the middle of New Hampshire County. It's amazing how much land is still here.
They haven't done all Carey Beach since Betty Mel.
And look at Los Angeles, you know, Orange County, California, look at San Francisco, look at all these attractive beach areas. Look at Florida, same place as things in Florida. People are going to continue to move to the beach. People want to stay by the coast.
Appreciate your.
So our job is to try to recognize and build the growth here and try to make it as good as possible. Can't stop the growth. Can't do that. But what you can do is make it done.